Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Politics Done Right. I am your host, Egberto Williams. This is the progressive program that will take the mystery out of politics. This is the program that will encourage you to make sure government becomes we the people. Whether you are liberal, conservative, or otherwise, you get to air your point of view. Remember, you can also send me a tweet to EGBERTOWILLIES. That is, at Egberto Williams. Let us engage. It is politics done right.
One, two, three, four.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Williams, your host. Thank you so kindly for spending this hour with me. I'm going to have a great show today. We're going to be talking a whole lot about what's going on in the election. But before I get started, I want to remind you folks, I sure hope for those who've been able to early vote that you have early voted. Please also remember, let me go ahead and put good morning, Ray Holder, my cousin de Panama. ¿Cómo estás, mi amigo? Mi hermano, mi primo. Anyhow, folks, listen, we're going to have a great show. We're going to be talking evangelicals. We're going to be talking Trump. We're going to be talking votes. We're going to be talking the black vote. Is it really underperforming? We're going to be talking the Latino vote. Is it really doing what it is supposed to do? And all those answers, in my humble opinion, are a big positive that the media is actually missing. I think there's a whole lot being missed in the media. But before I even go over there, I'm going to hit the vote again. Did you vote, first of all, if you were able to early vote? If you have not early voted, you must go ahead and vote on November 8th on Tuesday. I tell you what, if you have to miss work, you have to miss work. If you have to miss school, you have to miss school. I don't care what you have to miss. The reality is this is an existential election. And while some of the polls show that it is close, you have to make this election. You must ensure that we do not allow evil, the utter evil, to enter the White House. There's a whole lot that wasn't covered. There's an absolutely lot that our current media didn't cover that will be coming out. If this guy were to get elected, I can guarantee you that he would be impeached. Forget about, you know, them talking about Hillary Clinton impeachment and all that kind of stuff. This here's a reality because there is enough stuff out there. A lot of us have been trying to get some of this information out, but we don't have the traction to get it out in the amount of time that is out there. So what you need to do again is make sure if you haven't early voted on Tuesday to go out and vote. But there's yet one other thing that you must do. Assuming that you have early voted, assuming you've already voted or not, it is imperative that you call your friends, your families, and everybody else that's hearing my voice here on the air on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook Live, on Tumblr, elsewhere. It is imperative that you call your families, your relatives, and everybody else and let them know they must go to vote. And there's one person that they must not vote for. Go to people that you trust. And the reason you must hit people that you trust is there's no longer a whole lot of time to make a case. The one thing that is sure is that Donald Trump must not be the president of the United States for women, for people of color, for people with different names. Anybody that was gullible enough to vote for Trump, you're forgiven. You're forgiven for what you would have done, placing a pseudo, and I don't want to call that guy from Europe's name, but for putting someone like that into office. So folks, We are going to get our show started right now. Let me get it out on Democracy Unlimited. Get them involved in the picture. Now they are involved in the picture. Okay, folks, here's the deal. Many know, I titled the show today, Evangelicals Should Be Shamed for Their Support of Donald Trump. Why should they be shamed? Well, everything that they have claimed over their existence, everything these people have claimed over their existence. Great Ray Holder voted yesterday. Viva. Everything that these guys have claimed over their existence, they have gone against, which not only proves a hypocrisy, but proves the danger that they represent, not only for the United States, but for humanity at large. And that's not hyperbole, because folks like myself have always talked about the religious ilk. Many in the religious ilk, many who follow blindly the religious ilk, they tend to, and this is not a hit on my Christian friends. Remember, as I always tell folks, my wife is a deacon, so I'm around all kinds of religions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we have to realize those notions. Anyhow, going back to what we're going to talk about today. Many know that many of today's evangelicals are likely worse than the Pharisees of the biblical days. While I pointed out this verifiable truth for decades as I watched evangelical leaders pilfer their gullible followers, they displayed their evilness overtly with their support of Donald Trump. It is not about the Supreme Court. It is not about moral values. It is not about any positive values at all. There is no doubt that they made a financial calculation. Win or lose, they have a new resource, the Donald Trump supporters. And you know what? They know they have the ability to control puppets, the gullible, the willfully ignorant, the low-information voter. And look, I have many friends that are in that category as well, and I nicely tell them that, and when we go over issues, they finally say, yes, that is true. I didn't get it. I allowed myself to be clouded by tunnel vision. So we can get across that. It's about how we talk respectfully to our peers to encourage them to do the right thing. Anyway, what are your thoughts? Let's talk. I will also be following our hashtag Politics Done Right on Twitter, Egberto Willis. So please go ahead and follow Egberto Willis. That is spelled EGBERTOWILLIES, Egberto Willis on Twitter. And as well, I'd like you to give our page, Politics Done Right with Egberto Willis on Facebook. Go ahead and give me a like so that the next time we have different shows or for a lot of things that we'll be having going up to the election. In fact, I'll be broadcasting from KPFT 90.1 FM Houston on Election Day. I'll be doing the early Election Day coverage there so we can talk about that as well. But, you know, we have to take this election seriously, because it is a serious issue. And a lot of people who want to blow the system up, they think for some reason they're going to send the message to the establishment. They're going to use this person without an ideology, this person that is just crazy, we're going to bring him in to change things around. Don't believe that crap. Those same people that are telling you to do that, on Wednesday, they don't have an answer for you. They don't have a solution for you. They don't know. They don't know that you still have health care to worry about. They don't know that you still have to get a job. They don't know, or they can't empathize with the things that you have to consider as a living, breathing American. For all those Trumpites, those guys that are following Trump, that they think, yay, yay, we're going to vote for him and they're going to get him into office. What do you think happens the day after? Do you think their lives get any better? Will Donald Trump do anything to make their lives better? Absolutely not. They're peons. They're just there following the idol that will cut their heads off. That is, figuratively, cut their heads off, meaning their economic well-being, their health well-being, and otherwise. These are serious times. But anyhow, folks, I think you kind of know where it is, what time it is, and what I'm going to talk about is not going to be just my words in this one here, but this is going to be...
It's time for the weekly blog post.
I don't know how many of you saw Bill Maher last night, but I think Bill Maher was great last night. Bill Maher showed somewhat of a, what is the word that I want to use? He was very scared about the election. I mean, he's very scared that Hillary could win. Assuming you're a numbers person, in my humble opinion, I think Hillary has the race. If folks don't think she has the race, and make sure to go out there and vote. But there are more good people in this country than there are the sum total of the evil plus the gullible plus the willfully ignorant plus the low information voter. That is my trust. Again, let me repeat that. My trust is that in this country, you have more good people, more educated people, meaning not educated necessarily in the elitist form that, you know, you have to have the doctorate or whatever, but I'm talking about educated on the issues. You have more educated people, more good people, than you have gullible people, evil people, low information people, and otherwise the willfully ignorant. That's my theory. Okay? So here it goes. Bill Maher, in this new rule, slammed evangelicals like no other as he made it clear that their support for Donald Trump made them irrelevant as values voters. They sold out the morality they purported to have. I never personally thought they had much morality because much of the evil in this country was effected, in fact, under the name of the Lord. I never did buy into that. But anyhow, Bill Maher called out evangelicals for the dangerous hypocrisy they're displaying with their support for everything they preached against, which Donald Trump exemplifies. He exemplifies absolutely everything these guys have preached about. Now, before leaving this election behind, we must all thank Donald Trump for the good thing he did, Bill Maher said. He exposed evangelicals who are big Trump supporters as the shameless hypocrites they have always been. I don't know if you noticed, but Republicans didn't get to play the Jesus card this time around because it is hard to bring up the Ten Commandments when your candidate spent his life breaking all of them. Trump's commandments are like the regular commandments with LOL at the end. Bill Maher then went on to itemize with examples the commandments Trump continuously break. He displayed the women he committed adultery with. He played clips of him cursing and bearing false witness. He used Trump University to illustrate his stealing. He displayed Vladimir Putin as an example of Trump having false idols. He is the world's least godly man, Bill Maher said. Jesus saw the good in whores and lepers. But he met Donald Trump, he would say, if he met Donald Trump, he would say, sorry, man, that's a pre-existing condition. Now, Maher said that with 4 days left until the election, he wanted to celebrate one thing. Because evangelicals chose the most ungodly character to support, they could not, in good conscience, inject religion into the campaign. But I still think we are owed an explanation from the values voters as to how they could line up behind Donald Trump, Bill Maher said sarcastically. A man who loved to say, nobody loves the Bible like I do, who, when asked, couldn't name a single passage, even Sarah Palin said, hey, for the F's sake, it's not a newspaper now. Come on, it's not a newspaper. How could you not know that? I grew up in a church. I still remember those things. Maher reminded the audience about the fiasco that occurred when Donald Trump tried to name a book of the Bible. Instead of saying 2 Corinthians, he said 2 Corinthians. Trump has nothing in common with Jesus, who was from the Middle East, Bill Maher said. Trump wouldn't even let him into the country. Jesus healed the blind. Trump mocked the handicapped. Jesus turned the other cheek. Trump grabbed her you-know-what. Jesus turned water into wine, and Trump, what does he do? All he does is whine. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Trump says, fine. What about my daughter? That was so funny because a lot of people are concerned about the way he speaks about his daughter. I am concerned. I have a beautiful daughter. I have a beautiful, beautiful daughter. And never have I ever thought those thoughts that you hear come out of Trump. The moral, the evangelicals guys. And for all of us that have these beautiful daughters, we never heard or thought things like that, Mr. Pervert. Maher further illustrates the hypocrisy of the evangelicals. In the primaries, evangelicals had a whole bouquet of religious nuts to choose from, Maher said. Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, Scott Walker, Ted Cruz, Ben Carson. Ben Carson, who doesn't just walk with Jesus, they shower together, says Maher. But they went with the foul mouth, twice married, you know what grabber, with one exception. I never thought I would hear myself say this. This is Bill Maher talking. But let's hear it for the Mormons. Bill Maher went on and pointed out that the evangelicals support Trump 75% to 14. 75% support for Donald Trump with evangelicals. That destroys their brand. Yes, they'll keep their brand within themselves incestuously. They will keep their brand among themselves. But for all those people who looked at evangelicals as those people that are values voters, for those people who looked at this group as values voters, they will never, ever be seen again. So while they may have gained the alt-right as new members, while they have gained the misinformed as new members, which actually for them is pretty good, they would have lost the possibility of being taken seriously by the vast majority of Americans, because in their support of Donald Trump, in their support of a misogynist, racist, and I could go on and on, type of a person, they've shown who they really, really are. Not something that I don't know or shouldn't know. Anybody who was born in this country, anybody who has migrated to this country, anybody who knows the history of this country, knows that this is a country that has always had a sect within the country that have held up the Bible, preached the Bible like no other, while they whipped and killed and murdered and pilfered. So it should be no example. We look at the hearts of real people and how they treat others and what they do and what they say, and that's how we judge. That's how we determine the good from the bad, the good from the evil. But of course, there are some that are just misinformed, ill-informed, gullible, and fall. But that's what we're here for. That's what you are here for. That is what you must mitigate. That is why you must talk to your folk, all the folk that you know, whether they agree with you or not, and try to put sense in the heads. Try to show that empathy is important. But anyway, let me finish the blog before I go on my what could be an everlasting rant. Bill Maher went on and pointed out that if the evangelical supporters support Trump by 75%, only 14% oppose him, including CZ, my good friend at the, I don't remember the name, that blogs at the conservative blog. He's been warning evangelicals for a long time. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay to your values. Don't do it. They didn't listen to my conservative buddy from Ohio. But anyhow, apparently, And by the way, Mormons only gave him 19% support. The vast majority of Mormons, folks that many, including Bill Clinton, you know, he can kind of rough sometimes, consider fairly different, but they were consistent to their values. They, the Mormons, were consistent to their values. So now, I think it raises the notion that those 14% of evangelicals, which would be a huge percentage, go be Mormons. Actually, my mother is a Mormon, so hey, what can I say? I'm proud of my mother. I'm proud of those folks that are Mormons. I'm a humanist, you know that, but I'm proud of the Mormons who did the right thing. Apparently, the Mormons believe you shouldn't vote for a lie. This is Bill Maher speaking here. Apparently, the Mormons believe you shouldn't vote for a lying, infantile scumbag just because he's on your team, just because he's a Republican. I used the word scumbag. I didn't use the word. It was Bill Maher. You know, I don't generally speak like that. Okay, folks, the telephone number is 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. I want to hear from you. Before I get to John on the phone, let me see. Let me go to Facebook and start talking to my folks and see some of the messages that they left. Oh, of course, Jacob Santiang is here, who is a Trump supporter. Jacob, I stand by everything that I've written before, and someday, maybe when you're a bit older, I hate to sound condescending, but you'd understand if you have a family to feed, if you have health care to take care of, why Trump and his values, and I'm not talking about personal values, I'm talking about economic values, present a clear and present danger to have somebody like that in the White House. Let's go to Daniel Ledeau. Daniel Ledeau, yes, these are serious times. HRC has committed serious crimes. Yes, she has committed so many serious crimes that over the decades that Republicans have been trying to catch her on one thing, they couldn't. But yet during that time, just about every Republican leader who attempted to catch her doing something wrong themselves have had to resign or go to jail. She's done something so wrong that it is the Republicans mostly who have gone to jail or had to resign after coming after the Clintons. Look, these Clintons aren't saints. These Clintons pushed the legal limit, like just about the person who files their taxes and pushed their limits. Trump pushes his limits legally because everybody looks out for their self-interest. But the fact, the belief that somehow Hillary is more corrupt than anybody else or more corrupt than these folks that are accusing her is hogwash, my dear friends. Hillary Clinton is like anybody else. And the good thing about Hillary Clinton, if I had two crooks, and I'm not calling her a crook, but if I had two crooks, and one said, I am going to maintain a healthcare system that supports people, I am going to ensure that kids can go to college go to college paying it forward. In other words, not having to kill themselves like my daughter will going to med school to go ahead and pay her life off after med school because of a crazy, poorly designed economic system. So no, I want somebody who is in there who thinks proactively for the middle class, Senor Ledeau. Now let's go, Ray Holder, my cousin. I saw him like, yeah, he called out so many. Yes, he sure did. Pantheon, Bill is wrong on millennials, Dow. When you tell me that Bill is wrong on millennials, Don, you got to tell me what you mean by that. So I'll be waiting for your reply. So let's see. So if I don't support HRC, who am I? I'm not telling you to go support HRC for any personal reason. I'm telling you to support HRC for your own economic well-being. I'm saying support HLC for your own social justice well-being. All these particular issues. So who are you, Daniel Ledeau? You're a very intelligent person, so I'm not going to try to tell you who you are because you are going to have to decide that on your own. Now, let's see. Dana Matissa, Hillary is in a landslide and the Dow Jones to 20,000. I do believe it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be a close election. I think this is a lot of fodder that's going on right now. I think a lot of this that we're seeing now is in the media. They're trying to make it a horse race. But I think these leads that Hillary Clinton has is pretty stable. I do believe a lot of people are just voting their party ideology, not realizing that in doing so, they're committing a great evil, the evil at the same extent that we had in Europe for many of the leaders of Trump's ilk. There's a Republican, I don't remember his name, that went on TV and he almost cried when he said it. He said, fascism didn't start because people love fascism. fascism started because there was a vacuum left for it to exist. We need to fill that vacuum. For all of those that are listening to me of good thoughts, of good minds, we need to fill that vacuum and go out there and vote to ensure that we don't get that. You don't have to like Hillary. You don't have to love Hillary. You don't have to fall in love with Hillary. You need to get somebody in there who then the grassroots can move and decide what we need to do to move this country forward. I don't look at a politician to solve the problems. I look at us to solve the problems. I look at a politician who can be directed by us. I look at Trump and the fascist portion of the Republican Party to attempt to use mechanisms, legal mechanisms, to more and more take away our freedoms, and in so doing, being able to turn America into a pseudo-fascist state and eventually a fascist state. Some people are not willing to go as far as I am. They need to have lived where both myself and my cousin Ray Holder have lived before. Ray Holder, exactly. I've just told our users, they need to been from places where we are from and what we are aware of and how these things work. But right now, and folks, if you want to talk, and not only over Facebook, but if you also want to talk on air, give me a call, 646-929-2495, 646-929-2495. And now I bring in my brother from San Antonio. How are you doing, John? Talk to me, John, from San Antonio.
Yeah, good afternoon, Egberto. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine, and I'm feeling positive, sir.
All right, I voted on Monday. I think you already early voted also, so that's good to know.
I voted on the first day.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so good opening. I agree with what you're saying about the evangelicals. You know, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I'm also an agnostic humanist. But, you know, I also spent a lot of years in the Catholic Church as an altar boy, et cetera. And so, you know, I understand, to me, the core meaning of Christianity is about helping the poor and helping the people who need the help the most. And so I think that so many of the evangelicals have lost that meaning, and they've let their religion become politicized to where the political outlet of their religion is actually more important than the actual teachings of Christ. And, you know, it is total hypocrisy. I mean, it is complete hypocrisy. And so, you know, I think that's very sad. One thing that you were saying about the race getting closer, I completely disagree with that. The race is getting much closer. There is just no denying it. I you know, check these numbers every day. And, you know, there are five states that are within 2 points. And, you know, Nate Silver right now, if the election were to be held today, you know, it would be back at that 265, 273 Clinton lead. And so, I mean, yeah, there are three states that are within, you know, 0.2%, Florida, North Carolina, and Nevada. And, yeah, I understand that there was a great poll out of Florida saying that the 28% crossed over, you know, in early voting, who are Republicans who crossed over to Democrats. And also that the numbers are great in Nevada. But I also know the history of the great aggregators, and that history is that in statewide elections and presidential elections in the last three cycles, they are between – the average is about 98% in their predictions. And so, you know, the largest they've ever been off is an election – it was in Indiana – where Real Clear Politics said that they were 1.4% off. And so these aggregators are incredibly accurate. And so, you know, people really, you know, it's funny because, you know, for most of the year you were saying the opposite. You were saying take Trump seriously. And now that the election is...
I don't want you to misunderstand me at all. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I never said I didn't believe the polls. What I said... I think if we go back on the tape, you'll see what I'm actually saying is I think they're making a horse race that it really isn't. And what I mean by that is as follows. There's a thing to say that the polls are close, right? there's another thing to say that Hillary has a real lead. And that, let me give an example. And I gave this example a few days ago to a friend of mine who was saying, well, the race is getting closer. Let's give an example here. Let's say Hillary was beating Trump by 45 to 38, right? 45% to 38%. And then suddenly it became Hillary is only instead of being 7 points above Trump, she's now 2 points above it. What is it now? 45, 43. What that tells me, Hillary is durable. And those people that weren't for Trump before when he was at 38%, I don't know who in their right mind didn't think Republicans would come home. So in other words, a lot of people are looking at these polls thinking Hillary Clinton is getting weaker or that Trump is getting stronger. The truth of the matter is if you look at how the numbers are flowing, Republicans are just going home to the status quo. And if we have a status quo election, because there are more Democrats than Republicans, because there are more left-leaning people, when I say left, I mean left of center, not very left, but that than the rest of the country, that is a good thing for Hillary Clinton in the vast majority of states that count. So my thing is not to discount the polls at all. My thing is to tell people, if you are out there, don't sit down behind a laptop or behind MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, or anything and panic. What you have to do is just let things settle. You go out there and vote. You make sure and encourage all the folks you know to vote because the Trump folks are doing the same. And if Trump folks get all their people out and we get all our people out, we win. It's that simple. And it doesn't matter what those margins are going to be. If both sides do their job, the country leans Democratic because our values are Democratic values. And it's that simple. So my thing is, I'm not disagreeing with you and I'm not changing from what I've said before. What happened recently is I'm seeing an unnecessary panic within people. And this is a panic is like, oh, what's going on? And what happens with a lot of people, John, is when they panic, they don't activate. When they panic, they sit down and they stay in front of the newspaper and stay in front of the tube instead of doing something. In other words, when I'm worried about getting something done, I activate. I saw that today. My subject today was going to be different. I go ahead and I see that people are starting to panic. I look at my feed and people are, oh my God, what's happening? And my first thing about it is settle down, be quiet. Pick up your phone, make a call to your friends, make a call to your families, go to the bar, go to the restaurant, do what I did in Starbucks on Thursday. You know what I did in Starbucks? I was in Starbucks yesterday doing my blogging 2 hours before my show, and I saw a lot of young people in Starbucks. And I summarily went to each one of them, and I said, hey, guys, have you voted yet? Not really. You need to vote. Here's the reason why. Will you vote? Okay, yes. Where is your, are you registered? Yes. Where is your precinct? And I did that to several people in there. In fact, there's a guy from Cuba in there. And, I detected an accent when he was talking to somebody else. So I went in there and I spoke to him in Spanish and I started talking to him and I said, hey, in Spanish, have you voted yet? No, but I said, are you going to vote? He said, I wish I could, but all I have is a green card right now. And I looked at him and I said, well, but you do have friends, you do have family, and you see that green card that you have there? Be careful. Make sure that your folks who are citizens of the United States go out there and vote. In other words, it's not about panicking. It's not about saying you're scared. It's about just doing our job. If all of us do our job, we win the election because there are more of us than there are of them. And many of them eventually will be us. Go ahead, John.
No, I agree with the message that you're saying. You know, definitely get out the vote, make calls. If you have extra money, consider, giving money. I definitely agree with all that. But all I'm saying is that, there are four states that are within 1 point of each other that have 54 electoral votes. And, in Trump, if Trump wins all four of those states, he wins the election. Or it actually goes to the House, and the House will vote for Trump. And so, you know, that's all I'm saying is, you know, go out and the polls have tightened. It has gotten tighter. This isn't a figment of people's imagination.
But
this is real.
Explain what tighter means. It isn't that Hillary has lost any marginable, a large measurable amount. It is simply that the polls weren't. When you see a poll that has a tie of 42-38 or 42-38, you have to ask yourself, where are the other voters? So that poll doesn't – I don't like polls that are under 50% that adds up to less than 100. And the reason why is we cannot account for those others. I want to account for those others. So while I've always been – you notice I was always concerned. Like you mentioned earlier, I was always saying, don't look at this. That's one of the reasons, because the numbers didn't add up to 100%. Now the numbers are adding up to 100% because people are coalescing around who they're really going to vote for. And that is
they're never going to add up. They're never going to add up to 100% because there's always going to be at least, you know, 3-6% minimum that are undecided even on election day. So, I mean, that's
sure.
What consistently polls have said through the year. So, yeah, I mean, that can actually swing the election, those undecided voters right there. And actually this year it's been a little bit larger than in most years because people don't know, you know, how to decipher Trump. And so, I mean, most people, that's what Hillary's whole, strategy was to try to convince those Republican voters not to vote for Trump. And she was pretty successful for most of the year. And now in the last 2 weeks since a debate, you know, I think actually if the debate would have been a week later, we wouldn't even have this tightening because people would have seen how bad Trump was in that last. I mean, he was bad, but there's been, you know, that was the 19th and there's been a lot of time.
I disagree with you. And let me tell you why. I think you see, you're giving too much credit to the rank and file Republican voter. Okay. The rank and remember, I spoke about four kinds of people. I spoke about evil, gullible, low information, and willfully ignorant. Those are four distinct group of people, okay? The alt-right, we know, are the evil folk. We know that. We don't have to discuss that. But then there are the other threes. The low information, which are a large percentage of the Republican vote, which if you listen to some of the people who are walking in North Carolina found out, they spoke to voters, and I shouldn't only say Republican voters, I should say voters in general. They spoke to some voters, and the voters, a voter who was going to be a Hillary Clinton voter said, I think I'm going for Trump because I was up until yesterday, I was going to vote for her. Then I saw what Breyer said on Fox News, where he said she was about to get indicted, and I don't want to put somebody who's about to get indicted in the White House. And the person listened and eventually said, you know that he walked back that wasn't the true story. You know what the person told told the canvasser? He said, but it was on the radio. The radio don't lie. And so that's the kind of – those are the Trump-type voters. But then again, I call that the low-information voter. Then we have the willfully ignorant. Some of them listen to my show, and that is – they are able to convince themselves. The willfully ignorant, it's not a bad word. It's not an insult. It's just a fact. They choose to be willfully ignorant. And in choosing so, they can justify going ahead and voting for Trump. And then again, there are the others. I won't speak about the others. So, I mean, we have to realize that when Hillary Clinton from the beginning stated that this was going to be a close race, that is something that she knew. She knew the makeup of the psychology of the Republican Party. So more, what she also knew is that most of the Republican Party using one of those four tenets will be going home. And if most of them go home, it is equivalent to a very close election. But again, if we do our job and make sure that our folk go out, we win. John.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Okay, but let's look, you know, let's go back right after the election of 2012. And
sure.
I do think Hillary Clinton will still win. So, I mean, don't misunderstand me. But, I mean, what I'm saying is that, you know, I mean, just overnight, I've, you know, on my numbers, I've had a switch in North Carolina and Nevada. So, I mean,
uh-huh.
this is how close these elections are. And Florida is also very close, and so is New Hampshire, and so is Ohio. Okay, but my point is if you
Ohio.
Go – I'm sorry?
I think she's going to lose Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, all the aggregators says she is going to lose Ohio, all six of the top aggregators. But she's only down 1.7%, so that's what I'm saying, within 2 points. So, I mean, there's
right.
a possibility that she could win. Okay, so it right after the 2012 election, a lot of Democratic strategists were saying – you know, whoever the next nominee, and a lot of people even back then thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be the nominee.
Right.
How is she going to get the same amount of African American votes, which was an all-time record in 2008 and in 2012, to vote for her that voted for Obama? Because the numbers were staggering. They were incredible. And the second thing, and this is still the biggest question, are the African American voters and are the millennials going to turn out for Clinton? And we still don't have the answer for that. I mean, you see numbers in Florida where there's 2% down from this time last year, in 2012. So, I mean, I think they will. I think she'll win. I'm just saying that I think it's going to be very tight, and I think that there is a possibility that she could lose. And so, that should actually be motivation for people to go out and vote.
Exactly. Once you said that, you took the words out of my mouth, and that is what I wanted to say. My thing, again, is for folks not to panic, because if folks don't vote, if the left side doesn't vote, we deserve to lose. In other words, if we don't have the passion, if we see a Donald Trump out there, and that is, and this, I'm going to speak directly to the black voter, more so to the black and Latino voter, black, Latino, Asian voter, all those three major subgroups, black, Latino, Asian, Native American. If you don't go out there and vote, we deserve to have Donald Trump. We deserve to have the policies that he will put forth. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. If you cannot see, if you really see what this guy is about and you have the vote, you, as President Obama said yesterday, if it is in your control, he goes into North Carolina and he said, this is who this guy is. You have the vote. You have the power to ensure that those policies do not get effected. And if somehow the reason he wins is because you didn't vote, if you have students, if you have college students in your household and you don't vote and you don't strongly encourage them to vote, if you have health issues and you don't encourage folks to vote against Donald Trump, if you have all these things, then you deserve it. You know what is the funniest thing about it? They talk about who the Hillary Clinton vote is. Oh, educated whites, educated folks are mostly voting for her. Minorities and all minorities, but if not in the right amount, not good enough. All these people, you know, a lot of these people. Let me say something specifically for. For a lot of minorities, and why the minority vote is a tricky thing, right? Minorities get so much hell from the state already. When I say state, I'm talking about the government already. From, they are much more used to pain. They are much more used to poverty. In fact, that's why the alt-right is getting powerful, because we have in this country a time when a lot of folks don't like when I use it, but a British economist. Was on British TV a few months ago, actually about over a year ago, and I blogged about it. He said, you know what's happening in America? Whites are becoming the new black. And what he meant by that, yes, it's sort of a it's sort of a you-know-what type of a statement. But what he was trying to explain is that a group of, not Appalachian whites, we know what the condition of Appalachian whites were for decades. Hasn't changed. That condition has remained for decades. They are equivalent to some of the same conditions that we have in the lower economic strata of the of Latinos and blacks in the ghettos and the barrios and these other places. We know that. But what he was alluding to is what's occurring to marginally, to white people that were on the margins, white people that were in the middle class, lower middle class. They are seeing what a lot of these, what has been standard for the Native Indians, the blacks, the white, the Latinos and all of it. And because it wasn't ever a part of their reality, they can't handle it. And we have a Trump that comes in and he is able to make that a that their problem is because of the other. I mean, it's a psychological thing that works. It's a psychological thing that works, and that is what we have to mitigate. But to mitigate it, it's not going to happen in 2 days. What we have to do in 2 days is vote. John.
Yeah, no, I agree with what the guy was saying. But, I mean, you know, if you look at look at what Bernie's campaign was about, Bernie was saying something similar what the Economist was saying. And but, I mean, his solution is – to solve this through, you know, trying to change income inequality, to where
right.
Trump's solution is basically is to double down on the same policy. That's why he's such a hypocrite, and that's why he's such a liar. And, you know, I mean, people get tired of calling him a liar, you know. I mean, I know I have, because, you know, at the very beginning, that's all
right.
I did. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. But then, you know, people want to change their narrative, even when they're talking on talk shows. But I mean,
right.
when you get back to it, that's what he's doing almost every day. It's almost everything out of his mouth. You know, PolitiFact says it's 74%. I think it's more like 95%. I mean, it is unbelievable. It is unbelievable what he says, saying all this stuff about Clinton. This is worse than Watergate. There's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing. And, you know, calling Hillary Clinton a criminal, that's why all these people are coming back. Because when they watch Fox News, when they listen to Limbaugh, that's all they hear. Hillary is a criminal 24 hours a day. Now, they don't have the ability, obviously, to actually think about, you know, well, let me kind of evaluate this. Has she actually done anything that's illegal? She had an investigation. She's been investigated for, you know, so much during her time at the Secretary of State, Benghazi investigations. None of them led to anything, yet they all call her a criminal. They're all going to lock her up like this is some kind of third world country, you know, where people talk like that. I mean, and that's the big difference between Trump and the other, you know, bad Republican candidates. There would also cause incredible economic damage to the working class and the middle class. But on top of that, you have this added dimension of being a racist, being a total liar about everything, not knowing about policy, not caring about policy. Plus, he has all these fascistic tendencies. You know, when he talks about, you know, Kim Jong-un, rather, you know, I'm impressed with him. You know, he killed those generals in Tiananmen Square. You know, that was impressed with the Chinese. They killed those protesters. And, you know, the way he admires Putin. Sorry?
The man is a psychopath. And as I don't remember the Steve something, the name of the Republican pundit, Steve Smith, he was so right about what he said, right? He understands, and you know, he said it in much, much cleaner words. He was very good the way he said it. And I for the new listeners that are on now, I need to repeat that. And that is, he understands that fascism doesn't look like fascism when it's starting. You know, like he said, it's not that fascism looked good. It's that what people thought they were being offered didn't look as good as what this fascist was presenting to them. And that is where Donald Trump is to a not a majority of the country, but to a large portion of the country who were voting for him. Now, that is what you have to get across. Before, let me go to Steve. Millennials, Pantheon says that Bill Clinton, Bill Maher doesn't understand millennials. Let me read it. Bill says millennials are uneducated about the facts on both sides. He says the millennials don't understand what the politicians' issues are. I think millennials have really educated themselves on what's going on during this election. Pantheon, I'm not exactly sure that is completely right. And the reason I don't want to, I don't hit it completely as wrong is because it is partially right. The right portion about it is that that politicians running today are establishment politicians. Obama had a good way of saying it yesterday. When they asked him about the Obamacare, he said, "Yes, I wanted health care. I wanted single payer health care. I've spoken about wanting single payer health care, but I was given a different hand." He's right. He was given a different hand. He was given a whole group of lobbyists. He was given a $1 trillion medical system. And here is the deal. And this is what millennials need to understand. If you're going to have a revolution, let's say you're going to, because, you know, I was a Bernie guy. I'm with Our Revolution. I'm with all of that. Your revolution can only be successful is after the revolution is over, you have something to make the lives better of the masses. Otherwise, you find yourself in a constant state of revolution. That is something the president understands. I disagree with him on a whole lot of issues, but that is something the president understands. That is something that many, many people we call establishment understand. You can't have a huge establishment and think that one person, look, let me put it better. The mere fact that Trump can talk a lot of BS and convince a lot of Americans shows you the difficulty that any president would have making the type of changes that many people want. Let's see, they chose all the way up to 34 for millennials, yet everyone thinks of millennials. No, millennials are up to 34. I mean, I understand that. In fact, I like to call myself a Gen Xer, even though I'm on the cusp of Gen X baby boomer. I call myself a Gen Xer because I think the baby boomers act too damn old. But anyhow, here's the reality. Hillary Clinton is not going to push things the way I want it pushed. But Hillary Clinton also has another audience. Hillary Clinton has an audience that will listen to her in, let's say, Wall Street and others. Those of us on the left, those of us who've been talking about our revolution on the left, together have enough power to sway a Hillary. Not to get 100% of what we want, to get some percentage of what we want, what we need. And what she wrote down as policy, if we force her to simply the policies that she is running on, again, let me tell you, let me repeat that. If we were to get simply, you know, I want policies way left than Hillary. But I tell you what, if I were to get most of Hillary's current policies, it would be a good thing for America. It would be a good thing for me. And I would be happy. I would keep pushing for more leftward movement, but I would be happy. Donald Trump is a different story. Donald Trump is talking about reversing the economics of this country. It's not about the Bush or Reagan reversal. This is a different thought process. And it's the same thought process that has gotten him where he is. So we have to keep that we have to promote that notion to folks. I see that you're on, I think that is, who is that? I'm coming to you 620 in a little bit. I understand that. I think that's Jack. But you have to be pragmatic, because if you want a revolution and you want change, and let's say you get it, be careful of what you get. You better be able to know what to do with that change that you've gotten. And that is where I counsel millennials. Millennials are my biggest audience And that's where I counsel millennials. I listen to their ideas. I give them my ideas and we come together. I counsel in that regard because that's a very important concept, my friends. Let me get Jack in. Jack, give me a quick curve because we're kind of running out of time. Come on, Jack. Come on in.
Okay. This is Jack Golding. And I want to say that Donald Trump will get the lion's share of the Twitter vote. Trump the lion's share of those going to WikiLeaks. Those two are very certain. Because he loves Twitter.
Yes.
And then I have criticism for New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. All these, they are not objective.
But we know that, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Jack. Look, thank you for your input, my friend. As usual. You're a good listener, and you always have something prescient to tell us. Anyhow, folks, we're coming close to we have 5 more minutes left, and before I want to just let me get John to say a few words before I go on my soapbox. Go ahead, John.
All right. Well, I just want to encourage everybody to go out and vote. You know, don't be discouraged if you do see a line on Tuesday. You know, just you know, understand that your civic duty is very important. And understand also that this election is extremely important because, I mean, we don't want to see a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Trump presidency. So, I mean, you know, just vote and go do it. It's very important. And enjoyed the show as usual. And hopefully we'll have a victory in the Senate and in the presidency. And, you know, at least we can get Supreme Court judges at that point. And, you know, the House is going to be really hard right now. The odds are at 5% only of retaking the House. But, you know, we still, you know, push for our ideas, stay with it, vote in 2018, because all those off year elections are extremely important also.
Absolutely. So, you know, folks, thank you very much, as usual, John. You're an integral part of this show. And all of you, my dear listeners and watchers on Facebook Live, on Blog Talk Radio, on Tumblr, etc. Now, let me just say something, guys. You know, this morning I just kind of woke up and saw the stories on Melania Trump being that she was once an undocumented worker. Remember that. Melania Trump was once an undocumented worker. And also, Trump paid $150,000, or a newspaper paid $150,000. I wonder where it came from, to bury a Trump story where he was with a Playboy playmate, etc. You know, a lot of stuff on Trump that the media pays very little attention on, even though they give Hillary Clinton's email scandal a whole lot of notice. I mean, there's no liberal media here. There is an effort that's always made, and I don't think the media necessarily wants Trump. I just think intrinsic within the media, there's a whole lot of misogyny there, because the things that Trump gets away with is unheard of. And any woman that attempts to do that, God knows. Ray Holder says, can you imagine the backlash Hillary or even President Obama would have gotten if they displayed so much affection to a guy from Russia or even North Korea? And Melania, you're right, Holder. How ironic that the guy who wants to get rid of all these undocumented workers is married to a woman who was an undocumented worker. And under the immigration laws, as I understand, she could lose her citizenship for having done that. And she could be deported. So that is what we're looking at. But anyway, folks, we're at the end of the show. And I want to tell you, first of all, thank you so kindly for having been here. Thank you so kindly for listening to the show. Please remember to promote the show. Please remember to share the show. Please remember to let other people see this. But most importantly, coming on November 8th, please remember to go out and vote correctly. This election, there's definitely a wrong way to vote. Anybody voting for Donald Trump, and I'll say that absolutely so. Thank you very much, guys. But anybody voting for Donald Trump is adding a clear and present danger to the country, to your pocketbook, to your well-being. This is Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis. You guys have a wonderful rest of the day. And with that, I'm out. Okay, Facebook users, thank you very much for spending this time with me. Hey, Ray, mi primo, thank you very much for being here. Again, please, folks, remember to go to Politics Done Right with Egberto Willis on the Facebook page, that my Facebook page here, and like it. What happens then is whenever I'm coming on with new shows or whatever, you'll get a little prompt that says, hey, guys, we're having another show. In fact, on Tuesday during the election, I'll be covering the election for probably for 2 hours at KPFT 90.1 FM on Houston. If you're not in Houston, of course, I'll be carrying it here, as well as I'll be carrying it on the KPFT.org site and my site as well. So check it out, KPFT.org, politicsdoneright.com, or come here to Facebook. And great. And Pantheon, yes, I mentioned, if you listen to my show, I went ahead, Pantheon and Don, and I gave kudos to your show, but I didn't have the information, so I couldn't tell them exactly where to go. Your show is a great show. You need to go vote and vote right, though, Don. You have me a little bit concerned about some of the things you're saying now. I know you're a green guy, but you still have to do what's right. Jaime Rodriguez, mi hermano, ¿cómo estás? Okay, folks, this is it. Politics Done Right is out.